Do you know what it really takes to start a product-based business? Aside from knowing your target audience, there's a lot of work, research, and money that goes into finding quality products, reliable vendors, and shipping solutions, not to mention the unexpected costs that come up. My guest for today's podcast can relate. She's a Ghanaian-born Canadian who is the founder of Mercier Cookware, a cookware company to bring out the chef in you. Without further ado, here is episode 9 of Business and Culture Podcast. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Business and Culture Podcast, where business meets culture. Today, I am here with Leah, and she is with Mercier Cookware. Did I get the name right? Yes? Okay, good. All right, y'all. So on this podcast, if you're new here, I like to talk to Canadian-based entrepreneurs to get a perspective of entrepreneurship in Canada and talking to those who are, you know, on the ground doing the work, building their businesses and making a difference, whether it's through their products that they offer or it's through a service in helping entrepreneurs. And today we're going to be talking to Leah because I want to know a bit more about these very unique pots that she has. And with being a Black-owned business, it's very great to see as well that we have a product that represents us. So yeah, I'm really excited to talk to you. So thank you for being here with me, Leah.
I'm excited too. Thank you for having me.
All right. So I am intrigued to know, like, I feel like with almost everyone I've spoken to so far on the podcast, everyone has a story of how they got into entrepreneurship, where it's probably that they got laid off or they couldn't get a job, so they decided to just start their own business. But when it comes on to product-based businesses, we know out the get-go, you don't make money right away. So let me know, what was the motivation for you to start your company, a cookware company to begin with? Like, tell me a story.
Okay, thank you so much, Maggie. Again, I'm so honored that you invited me on your wonderful program. Honestly, I'm so excited. And, you know, I was so happy to see you doing this because I think you're made for this.
Oh, thank you.
And so this is truly an honor for me to be able to come on here and talk about myself, talk about my business. So I want to thank you before I start. I really appreciate you for that.
My pleasure.
Yeah. So Mercier Cookware. We started in 2019, but there's a longer story behind it. So I came to Canada in 1997. And prior to me coming here, my mom had her own cookware business. And, you know, it was a lot different than how we see business today. So how my mom did it was, you know, she got up one day in 1992 while living in Toronto and decided she was going to start her own business. And she decided to travel to China. I don't know how she did this. Okay. And my mom, she speaks English. Yes, you would understand her if you spoke to her, but she doesn't have any formal education or anything like that. And so it's really impressive how this lady got up and decided she was going to start her own business, you know, and not just started even here in China in 1992, where, you know, people are not speaking English like today. Right. A lot of people, like, the country wasn't as open to foreigners as it is today, where when you go in, you're able to communicate with most people in China. So she went there and she started her business. She started selling cookware. And she did it forever prior to me even coming here. And when I first came to Toronto, that's what she was doing. So we had to help her. We didn't have a choice, right? So if she needed to deliver a pot to someone, a set to someone, and it wasn't too heavy, then guess what? You're going to take the TTC and you're going to go and deliver it to that person.
Wow.
And at that time, we didn't have e-transfers and all these wonderful ways of collecting our money nowadays. And so that would mean that you may have to walk or take the bus and go and collect mom's money for her.
Wow.
Right. And she did it so diligently and she did it so effortlessly. I still can't tell you how she did it. It still blows my mind today because I think it's hard to run a business. So I can only imagine how she did that. Right. So she had the roots already set. She had the connections already made. right, for me. So my life is a lot easier today when I decided that I wanted to start this business. So I came to Canada, I went to post-secondary, I went to school, I did all the right things an African parent would want their child to do, right?
Yes.
And I got a job. So I'm winning for the most part. So I graduated, I got a job with Government of Alberta. I was doing well, I had a nice cushy job. And so there was really no need for me to look other places. Mm-hmm. But in 2018, when I got my job, actually, I told myself I was going to do my job for 10 years. And if I was going to change positions, I needed to move out of there before 10 years. Because mm-hmm. if I decided that I was going to go past 10 years and I was going to be a lifer in the job that I did. And so once 9 years hit, I started feeling itchy, right? Like, oh my goodness, do I want to stay here? Do I not? And blah, 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 blah. So in 2018, I decided I wasn't going to stay with my organization. All the holidays that I, created for myself, 6 weeks of holidays, come on. I decided I wasn't happy. I was going to leave my job and try something else. And you know what? That's the best decision I've ever made in my life, even though it was so uncomfortable and so scary, mm-hmm. right? So I decided to leave my permanent full-time gig to go and get a temporary job.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's where really the journey began. So I took this temp job, and when I actually went to go apply for it, I was hired along with four other people, and I was the one who had the most experience, let's just say. Mm-hmm. So I was, I was told, Leah, don't worry, by the end of your 1 year contract, we're going to give you another gig. Right? You're going to get a permanent gig, so you don't need to worry. So 3 months into it, a position comes up. They give it to someone who got a 3 month temp position. 6 months comes, the next person gets. 9 months comes, the next person gets.
Oh.
And when it was, and I was told, don't worry, you're going to have a job. And, I started worrying because I have a family. I have a home. I have bills. And I'm not from Canada. I'm Ghanaian. And so even if, I live here, I always have to think about back home, right? I don't live for just myself. I live for everybody else. And so the 1 year is approaching, and guess what? There's no gig for me.
Wow.
And, I go to inquire, and they tell me that, don't worry, something is going to come up. Don't you worry. So I said, I know you guys keep telling me this, but I probably should be worried. So they told me not to worry, but after the 1 year, I started panicking, right? Because I don't have a gig. And so they tell me that, don't worry, we're going to give you another 6 months, and then something permanent will come up for sure. So I said, okay, that means I have 6 months to get it together, right? And so in beginning of 2019, even though they told me not to worry, I started thinking about, if I really had something for myself, I wouldn't have to rely on these people to give me a job, mm-hmm. right? And I wouldn't be panicking. I wouldn't be so stressed. And so I started thinking about what else can I do? And I've always had little things on the side. Even throughout university, I braided. That's another secret talent that I have. And I would braid at least 5 or 6 people's hair on a weekend to earn an income and to, spend, right? And I've done Avon. I've done everything you could think of.
Hmm.
Even in university, I've always sold something. I've always, done some kind of little business. And I truly love jewelry. So at one point, I started my own jewelry business, but I couldn't keep it going. And so I started thinking about what else could I do that will bring me money, right? And then I remembered, oh my goodness, my mom sold these pots. And they're great. I still have pots from like 25 years ago. Every day I pick them up and I say, I'm going to throw them out. And sometimes I even actually bring it to the garage, like getting it closer to the, to the recycling bin. And then my mom would say, there's nothing wrong with it. It's still intact. Why are we throwing it out? And then she'll bring it back in, even till today, even though I sell pots, right? So I knew that they were good quality products, right? And even friends and family will come over and they always ask, where did you get these pots? And I'll tell them, my mom used to sell them. So they have always encouraged me to to also get into the business and maybe bring them back. People will buy them. Every single one of those people encouraged me. And I kid you not, Maggie, not one of them has bought any of those.
Isn't it always like that, though? The ones that gas you up the most?
Yes, but they still encouraged me, and I appreciate every single one of them for it. So I said, okay, I've got it. So I called Mom, and I said, Mom, I want to sell pots. And she said, how are you going to do it? You need a lot of money to start that business, right? Because they're not just going to give you pots to go and sell. So how are you going to come up with this money? So I approached the bank and I told them, I have this dream. I want to bring these pots. It's not just starting with me. I know lots about pots because my mom sold them. I had no choice. I had to learn the ins and outs of the business. And they said, no, right? We're not going to give you any money. It's high risk, blah, 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 blah. So I decided I'm going to save up a little bit. And then my husband actually took a chance on me and invested a little bit into me too.
Oh, yay for hubby.
Yeah, he was super duper kind. And then I pulled out, you know, balance transfers from one of my credit card to add the money to order the pot. So I started talking to them about, you know, hey, my mom is Olivia. She used to work with you guys and she used to sell your pots, and I'm thinking about starting my own business. So they said, okay, our minimum order of quantity is like 1500. I said, I don't have 1500. Right. And aww, since it's me starting over, nobody knows me. I live in a little town in Alberta. I'm trying to, you know, put it out there. So I know I have some connections in Toronto, some people that bought for my mom. Maybe if I reach out to them, they'll buy it too. Yeah. So why don't we start small? It took me about 6 months. And I managed to, you know, convince the factory to give me 100 sets of pots to try.
To start out with.
To start. So they said, okay. And so I summed up all the money and I sent it to them. And then the products were supposed to come to me in September of 2019. Mm-hmm. September turned into December of 2019. Because at that time, there was all those commotions going on in China and Hong Kong. So I didn't get my stuff in time. So that is the long and short version of how Mercy Cookware began. Yeah, it hasn't been easy, but it's been really beautiful as well. So that's the story behind Mercy Cookware.
Wow. So that sounds like quite a journey. I know you had to definitely like sum it up for us, but I know that it took much more time and effort to get to this point that you're at now. But I'm really interested to know, and maybe you can provide some insights for, especially with products. We know that what makes your product stand out from another is the quality. So yes, someone can buy something that's, you know, more quote unquote affordable or cheaper, but it's always going to come down to quality and providing a certain need that someone will choose yours over someone else's. But of course, you're not the one making it yourself. So how do you go about finding trusted vendors that, you know, they can be the ones to make the products the way that you want them to do it? So I'm interested. Help us out here. How do you go about finding reliable vendors? I know you mentioned that your mom was able to pass down her contacts, but was it the same vendor that you ended up sticking with? Did you have to pivot? How did it go to change your design? All of these things. Tell us about picking the right vendors for your products.
Okay, so starting out, it wasn't easy. And, you know, I gave you the shorter version of the whole process. Initially, I wanted to, you know, start this business as my own. I didn't want it to just look like my mom did this and then I took it over and it was nice and easy and smooth. So I started off looking for vendors myself. Mm. And I was in contact with many of them. Some sent me samples. And I tell you, not all of them was good. Actually, all of them were terrible. And this is why I went back to my mom and I said, okay, Mom, please help me out. Give me your vendors, right? So it didn't start off so smooth. I spent a ton of money on a lot of trash, right? I have pots that you can't use. You know, you wouldn't even use it to fetch water, let alone try and cook in it.
Wow.
It was not easy. And so I would say to anybody, if you're going to do this, you have to actually make sure that you take your time and you connect with the right people, right? Because you could be misled. And, you know, I know that sometimes they even have like fairs and trades and stuff like that, right? Where you could go and meet factories or vendors and all of that stuff. And that is great. But then a lot of people could also print business cards and come and sit at these places and sell it to you without it being actually real, right? Because you're not flying out to China to go and make sure. And even if you did, if you don't speak the language and they take you to a factory and they say, this is it. And you're like, okay, does that necessarily mean that it's going to be a good, you know, it's going to turn out to be what you want? The short of it all is you're going to have to invest a lot of money into samples. Don't order anything.
Okay.
Don't order nothing until you get samples. And when you get the sample, don't just take it and say, oh, it looks so pretty. Okay, make me 2,000 sets or whatever number of sets the minimum order of quantity is. Try it yourself. Mm-hmm. Make sure you can vouch for the product. Because if not, that's your name on the line too, right? Because if I sell you that, maybe you will buy it, but next time would you buy it from me again if I bring in another product, if you didn't love my previous one? And I didn't want to just do anything for the sake of doing anything, right? Mm-hmm. I wanted to make sure that it was something that I could vouch for. And, you know, nowadays, there's also social media. Once it's out, right? All it takes is for one person to say, I hate my product. And we're in trouble. We're doing a lot of work trying to clean up that mess. Mm-hmm. Right? So make sure you get to know the product that you're putting out there, that you're putting your name on. Invest some time into that and money into that so that, you know, at the end of the day, you can say for sure that it's a good product. I ended up going with my mom's vendors, right? And part of that was because their name, like they've done this forever, for many, many years, and we can definitely testify for them. Mm-hmm. And not just that, they also produce for bigger companies, right? Some that are like a big competition for me, right?
Oh,
so I'm
not giving
them free publicity. And anyways, even if people went out to go look for some of these companies, they will not get the product at the price that I sell it.
Gotcha.
I sell at much, much lower price than those companies sell them for. And part of that is because they've made their name. And so they have made it up there for them to be able to sell it. And so I knew that I could vouch for that, you know, that factory to make a good quality product for me. And even then, when I got samples, I tried it and I get back to them and I say, I want you to fix this. I want you to make it like that. And so there's a lot of work and time, you know, that you have to put into that. Right. And patient and being kind so that people want to work with you. So it takes a lot and it's worth it in the long run. So put in the work so that you get a good product.
I like that you mentioned having some sort of good communication skills so people will want to work with you, because I don't think some people realize, you know, that this is the thing about business, right? And I'm like relearning it as well and learning all of these soft skills that I have, how important they are. So everyone has an idea of what they think an entrepreneur is supposed to be like. You're this boss and you make all these decisions and, you know, you see the movies and you see how they act and it's like, oh, wow. It's like, no. What do you always see happen in the movies, though? It's like, yes, they have this success and they're this boss person. But if they don't have people skill, when the company is going to go under or if they need help, the last person who will help them are the ones that they didn't treat properly. So having those communication skills that you can express to your vendors what you need, paying your vendors, like that's a big thing. People don't realize you can't just get products and don't want to pay for them. So yeah, that is important. Relationship building and connection is super important when you're getting a product, especially when it's from someone of a different culture or country. Very important. Now that we know it's important to get a lot of samples, this is something consistently I've heard. How did you go about being able to communicate the different styles that you wanted, the dimension? Like, how did you go about doing that? Because what I like about your products is that if you're from the Caribbean or you're from an African country, like, listen, you're going to love the pots because they are sized for our food, okay? So if you're making your stews, your oxtail, your rice and peas, whatever we come from cultures that we are about cooking a lot of proportion so that we can either share with family, because we usually come from big families, or you're sharing with a neighbor or something, or you just want to have leftovers because you're not trying to cook for entire every day. So that is one thing I love about your products. The sizing is very, it represents our culture in that way. How did you communicate that with your vendors to do that? Like, what did you have to think about when it comes on to the styles that you wanted for your pots?
Right. So I'll tell you this. It wasn't easy. Remember, I went in saying, you know, I want these pots, and I have a champagne appetite with a beer budget. Right. And I know exactly what I want, and I know what it looks like. And when I see it, I can tell you. Mm-hmm. And I have lots of many wonderful ideas. To actually put it on paper is a little bit harder. And so, and I'm not technologically savvy. I won't even lie about that. I will always and forever own that. Mm-hmm. And so connecting with my person and saying to them, listen, I want pots. Kind of like what my mom did. And you need to help me. Mm-hmm. Because I don't have a ton of money, they're throwing at me what they think I should sell, right? So they're sending me sizes and things, and I'm like, no, that's not going to cut it. I don't want just any pots because I'm broke. I want good pots, right? And I live in Canada, and there's some expectations, right? Like even specification and all of that stuff. I need to make sure that I'm going to pass code. And regardless, I need to make sure that it's a good product for me. Like, I need to be able to use my own product that I'm trying to sell to other people, mm-hmm. right? And so they'll send me samples. We think this will be really great for your market. Even till today, I get emails upon emails each and every day. Hey, these are some things that I think you should sell. I'm not going to jump on the bandwagon. I have a million and one thing that I could bring onto the market, but not all of them will fit my dream or what I think Mercy Cookware is about. Mm-hmm. And so sifting through some of that stuff, I knew that I needed bigger sizes and they were not going to do that. So I had to pay for molds, right? Mm-hmm. You have to pay for your own mold and then they make those sizes for you. And all of that stuff are things that you need to think about, right? You may have an idea. A lot of us, we do. Right. So it might be like, well, I want to like, and people even give me that feedback. I really like your pot. Can you make it in red? Or can you make it in black or white? And I'm like, it's all, I say, thank you so much. I will consider that. Right. They have no idea what it takes, right, to get these products on the market. I know, but should I respond back to them? No. I could just say, thank you so much. I haven't thought about that. I'm going to think about that. Mm-hmm. Right? Because everything I bring, I have to pay for molds and I have to pay for them. And sometimes your money could be eaten up by just those things.
Just those things.
Stuff. And so I had to pay because I wanted a specific size. I cook big. I only have a family of four, but I can never cook for four people. Every time I cook, you think I have 20 people coming over.
It's a Ghanaian in you.
It just is. I can't help it, right? And so I knew that most people that, you know, would buy my pots would want it equally like that. Mm-hmm. And part of that is because it takes too long to make our foods. I can't stand up and cook jollof rice every day. I can't make bangku every day. I won't have a wrist left. And so every chance that I get, I'm going to make a bigger portion and then we're going to portion it out. And a lot of us are busy. We work and we're trying to do side hustles too. And so I need to make sure that, you know, I think about my customer in that way. Whatever it is I'm trying to sell to them, I have to make sure that it's going to make their life easier. So that's what I was thinking about when I thought about some of the sizes.
Nice. Wow. And it's interesting that you mentioned something about like the proper coding or making sure your pots are up to code. I didn't know that was like a thing as well for Canada. Like, tell me a bit more about that when considering even cookware in Canada.
So if you're starting any business, you have to make sure you go and do your research and find out, like, you know, what is allowed, what is not, and all of that stuff. Because if it's not, there are certain things that you can't have in your cookware. Like, for example, you know, when people come on there, like even on social media, right? So someone will comment, like non-sticks cause, cancer or like autism and all those things. And, I appreciate them. And I think it's important that people know what it is that they're putting their money into. But there are certain things that you could bring into the country and there are certain things that you can't, right? If I'm going to say my product is this, I have to make sure it actually meets the requirement for that, right? I can't just say things and not have that stuff. You're not going to be able to put it out there on the market, right? So it doesn't matter. Whatever product you're trying to put out there, do some more work. Do research into what is allowed, what is not allowed. There are some states in the U.S. that you can't bring certain things in there. So you have to do your research. I can't say, like, there's not a blanket statement that this is allowed here or this is not. Some things are allowed, some things aren't. So make sure you do your research. And they do check. Like, my last shipment that came in, I learned about a new cost that I paid for, and I was like, why? So Border Services decided they were going to search my my container for whatever reason. They randomly pick, or it might look suspicious or whatever. It doesn't matter. I can't even tell you. But I was chosen because I'm so special. And so I had to pay for them to cut the lock open, hire people to take out all the products and search and open a box and make sure everything was the way it was supposed to be. And then they put it all back, and that cost me $2,300 that I didn't plan for, right? So all of these things are things that you have to look into. I think you're right. When people think about running a business, we're always glamorizing it. We make it look so easy. And so everybody thinks you're going to put in, like, let's say 10,000 or 20,000, and you're going to get back 60,000, and that's it. No. It's not like that. I'm still waiting to get rich. I haven't gotten there yet. Every day I wake up and I try and do something small to get there. So please do your research. Make sure you pick a product that you can actually devote the time to and will be interested in enough to put in the work.
Wow. Well said, because I think it's important to say that because sometimes, as you mentioned, it can be glamorized entrepreneurship, and sometimes people might look at someone doing something and seeing how successful they are in it, not knowing the work that goes into it. And when they try to do it, they fail because they weren't aware of every aspect that is needed into it. So if you're doing a product-based business, just know that shipping is going to be involved. More than likely, you're going to be having your product imported from another country, mostly China, because they are like one of the biggest places that does most of the manufacturing. So your importation cost, you got to factor that in. And so these are all the things. So as Leia said, do your research. So before I let you go, because you gave us so much knowledge in today's episode, this is a segment I'm calling Biz Nuggets, where you give a little business advice for anyone who's listening. So what is your biz nugget for today?
I know the way I've presented things makes it all sound very daunting, right? But I will say this to you. I have not gotten here because I'm so smart and because I did all this wonderful research and did all this beautiful work behind the scenes. No, I have gotten here because a lot of people have helped me along the way. If there are things that you don't know, ask someone. Like I said earlier, I'm not technologically savvy. Sometimes people will buy my product and share a video, and I have to call my sister or I have to call my girlfriend and say, can you please screen record it and send it to me? Because I don't know how to do it. I don't know it all. I cannot know it all. And I don't aspire to know it all. There's way too much for me to learn. And so inquire with other people. Ask. Don't feel crippled because I said, do all this research and make sure you put in money and all of that stuff. Don't do that. Start wherever you are, right? So I gave you the really beautiful story about Mercy Cookware and blah, blah, blah. I didn't even have a name until September when the product was coming out in December.
Wow. So right? You don't have to have everything figured out right away.
No. And I still don't. right? And I always say when it comes to business, I don't know who I'm going to be when I grow up because I'm still growing, right? So, and you don't know what is going to come of it. You know, when you start, there's always going to be, you know, Christians will say destiny helpers who are going to come along the way and are going to guide you. You don't have to worry about it. It will happen. If you know someone that's in the business, don't be shy. Ask them. Mm-hmm. People email me and they call me and they ask me what I know, I will teach you. What I don't know, I can't tell you. And so I will be honest about that, right? I think sometimes too, what we're expecting is you're going to call me and say, hey, who's your vendor? And I'm going to give it to you.
No. That is one thing, y'all. Please stop asking people for their vendors.
Don't ask me for that. I would never give it to you. If I give it to you, my mom would kill me because my mom still thinks it's her business that I'm stealing, right? And so you would have to pay her, not forget about me, right? So don't ask me about my vendor. You could ask me about the process. You could ask me about other things. If you want to get into this business, listen, if you want to start a cookware business, because you see Mercy Cookware is doing well and you think there's, you know, room for you to also do that, you can ask me. Maybe I'll charge you something small for the work that I've done to order your stuff for you. I would even help you to put your branding on it. There are expectations, though. Like I said, there's minimum order of quantities and all of that stuff. You may have to pay for a mold because you want a certain shape. You have a certain idea and all of that stuff. I don't mind. I would actually do that with you, but I will not give it to you for free, mm-hmm. right? And I don't think it's fair for us to expect that from anybody, right? Because then I could call the other bigger companies and say, give it to me. They wouldn't even look at me. They wouldn't even talk to me. So, you know, don't have those expectations. But if there are certain things, little things that they could do to help you get to where you need to be, ask. Everybody, like all my friends in business, would be more than happy to share it with you.
Perfect. And I will put the link to the website in the description box if you're watching this on YouTube. If you're listening on any other podcast platform, you can see the link in the show notes. I have personally used one of the products before. It's probably one of my favorites that I use, especially when I want to make big portions of like pasta or rice. So highly recommend. Mother's Day is coming up. Father's Day is coming up. A lot of you probably have friends who are aspiring chefs. This is a perfect gift that you can give to them. Visit their website. You'll see what I'm talking about, from cookware, knife, they have options for almost everyone who is trying to bring out the chef in them. So I want to thank you again, Leah, for taking the time to speak with me. Thank you to the listeners. We hope that you learned something today. And I will see you in the next episode of Business and Culture Podcast. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
I hope that you enjoyed today's episode. If you're listening to the Business and Culture Podcast on Spotify, you can participate in our poll and questions for every single episode. We would love to hear from you and get your feedback. Don't forget to subscribe or follow and leave us a review so we know how you're finding this podcast. Looking forward to you listening to more episodes with more inspiration, more insights, and more business and culture. Catch you in the next episode.